No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we're in here with the one and only Presser. How you feeling, my guy?
What's up, family guy?
I'm great. It's nice to have you in here.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me, man.
No, no problem. I remember when I first heard you, it was actually because of DJ Carnage. Like, we were doing one of those things where you're hanging out with somebody for the first time, and you're kind of going back and forth playing each other artists that they ain't heard before. And he put your shit on, and I hadn't heard it up to that point, and I was just like, holy fuck, this is insane. This guy has one of the craziest voices I ever heard. And it made quite an impression on me. So
it's dope
that we're finally going to connect.
Shout out to DJ Carnage, man.
Yeah, good dude. And I also remember at the time, one of the things he said about you was, this motherfucker got some problems with the law. He might never come to America. I believe at the time it was, he is never coming to America. Which was, I think a lot of people, when they first heard about you, or not when they first heard about you, but at some point that kind of became the story with you.
Yeah, but I beat the odds, you know?
Yeah, is that how you feel?
Yeah, to succumb that shit, you know?
Right. Like, I mean, it's pretty wild, like, just to think that you know, could be in a very, very different situation. A lot of people who come from your circumstances are in a very different situation.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's because a lot of shit, I was young. I was underage when I did a lot of shit. So when I finally fucking... And then I stayed out of trouble for, like, 5 years after that, like, it's not like I stayed out of trouble. I got arrested, but I never got found guilty for nothing. You feel me?
Right.
So I ain't got no adult record. You feel me? All my youth record is crazy, though. Like, you feel me?
Really? Yeah. So that's why you're able to travel and we see you in America and shit at this point?
Yeah.
So do you live here most of the time at this point?
Yeah, I live in LA.
Okay. So you fully made the switch. How is that?
It's dope, you know? Trying to chase my dreams, you know?
Right. But, I mean, you got to miss some of the local shit. Like, one thing in Toronto, the food is absolutely fucking unbelievable. That's, like, the whole culture, the whole
vibe.
You've
been to Toronto?
Yeah.
Like Jamaica.
Jamaica. Now,
might
yeah.
as well be Jamaica.
I've been
there.
To Toronto a couple times, and it's definitely, like, an amazing place that if I was from there, I feel like I would have a hard time walking away from it. And, like, L.A. is amazing,
sure.
Obviously, but it's got to be kind of a weird transition to an extent.
Well, L.A. is like Toronto, though, now. Cause for me, like when I leave L.A., I need to go right back. Like, you feel me?
Mm.
And the only reason why I don't be going over there to Canada is just because I don't want them to, like, ever not let me back in.
Okay. So you just don't really go back at this point in general?
Yeah, I don't go back.
Interesting.
So I'm, like, crazy rich.
Do you see, like, when you go through the border and shit, do you feel like there's a level of inspection on you where they're really looking at you? Like, I'm sure, like, a pretty good percentage of the people at the airport and shit know you and stuff, right? But do you feel like they're trying to catch you doing something, or they're looking for a reason to fuck with you?
Yeah, just because they kind of know who I am. But then some of the police, they are fans. Like the people, like the TSA or whatever, those people,
right?
They'll be like, oh, Presser, what up, man? I'll be listening to your shit.
Yeah.
Where you going? You got a show today?
And do you feel like they give you a bit of the benefit of the doubt in that you're doing something positive with yourself?
Yeah, for sure. They'd be like leaving me alone right now. You feel me?
Mm. I respect that. But yeah, you had a pretty crazy childhood. We got to talk about the way that you came up, because it's definitely fucking something else. Some of the stuff from your childhood. Do you remember, like, a specific point you sort of realized that you had a very unique upbringing in comparison to a very large percentage of people?
Yeah. Like, the first song, basically I knew I was unique from my city off the rip. You know what I mean? Cause I knew there was no one like me coming out at that time, you feel me? Everybody that I was rapping, they're like, they weren't like full certified in the streets, you feel me? So when I started rapping, I was like already 100% certified. Like, you know, like the whole streets knows me. Like, everybody knew me before I was rapping, you know?
Right.
They just knew me and my niggas are just turned up, piped up, you know?
But you... Like, you were super young when you first started rapping, though, right? So, like, people knew about you from being out and about when you were, like, 12 and shit?
Yeah, they knew me from 12 and shit. Like, oh, that me and my brother are them two little niggas that always, like, if you ever been to my hood and you had to, and you don't know me, you never been there. Like,
right.
If you've been to my area and you don't know me or my brother, you never been there. Like, you're capping. Like, you're lying. Because every time you go out there, you'll see us out there on our dirt bike, ripping around everywhere. You feel me?
Right. Paint that picture for us, though, of, like, what it was like in terms of what that area is like. Because a lot of people, it's hard for them to even imagine that Canada has some pretty fucking intense hoods.
All right. So, basically, I'll just be, like, when I was young, like, when I was 12 and shit, I used to see, like, shootouts and shit. Hear gunshots on my block every day, like, every other day and shit.
Really?
All them niggas would be at my crib. You feel me? Like, they'd be standing outside my crib. You feel me? Like, all them older niggas that be cripping and all that shit,
uh-huh.
They'd be, like, outside my crib.
Right. So that was just normal shit, because people think that there's no guns in Canada.
Yeah, I used to look out my window and shit and see, like, niggas playing with their guns and shit when I was, like, 7.
Right.
6, and they used to be like, yo, go back inside and all that shit.
Right. Is it mostly just, like, in your area, was it the issues would be caused by just, like, other neighborhoods just having problems with the neighborhood that you were from and shit? Was it mostly just territorial type shit, or what was the source of all this conflict?
I don't even know. Stuff. Like, just Toronto being Toronto, you know?
For sure.
But I used to be, like, they used to play dice outside my house, like, in front of my house all day.
Right.
I see them running around, running away from police, all that shit, you know?
Right.
You got it right later?
Yeah. It's crazy just to think, like, do you look back at those times now and feel like, holy shit, like, I thought all that shit was normal? Because you're, like, one person that managed to actually get out of there and break away from that and sort of be able to see a lot more of the world and stuff. But, like, all the stuff that you thought was completely normal at that time has to seem pretty extreme now, huh?
Yeah, it's all normal to me. Like, it don't matter. Life is life, you feel me? Like, fuck, I'm proud to be going. I'm proud that I went through all that, because now I know, like, the purpose of life and shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
If I was just a rich kid from nowhere, I would be fucking just worried about the wrong things, you feel me?
Right.
Now I got, like, a bigger purpose, and, like, I have a stronger purpose, you feel me?
Definitely. Okay, so from day one, from super early on, were people trying to tell you that you should rap just because you had such a unique voice?
Nah, they never used to. I was just rapping. I don't even think people really liked my voice at first.
Really?
Until they hear what I'm saying, you know? And then some people like it, and then most people like it, but some people, they don't like it, you know what I mean? Because they don't understand it, and then they're not really, it's not really communicating with them, you feel me?
Right.
Like, I'm on a whole different vibe, like, only the real ones kind of connect with me, you feel me?
Right. So how did you start rapping?
My homie died and shit, and I just started rapping. I made a song about him.
The Wasp Gang song? So that was how you actually started rapping? That was the first real song that you had ever done?
Yeah. That's the first song that I put out on YouTube.
So prior to that, you were just fucking around, and was that the first time that you felt like, wow, this is, like, something so momentous in my life, so traumatizing that I gotta do something to remember him? How did that song come about?
I just wanted to show them that, like I'm the guy, like, and like, we're the guys in my neighborhood, and there ain't nobody realer than us in the city, you feel me?
Right.
When it comes to the street shit, it stands and falls in our ball court, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
When it comes to street music, like, they gotta come and listen to us, you feel me? If they're looking for street music, you can't go find it from somewhere else, you feel me? You gotta come to, like, my guys, like me, Burning Bands, Houdini, fucking YG, Janie, like, you feel me?
Right. But did you feel like, I saw some people saying basically that was the first time that song sort of, like, ushered in a new era in terms of Canadian street rap, that, like, it just brought a completely different energy, kind of like
that song right there.
It was like the drill type moment sort of unfolding in Canada, where you're seeing sort of like people dying and it's being, they're being memorialized in songs and like, you know, really kind of capturing like what was really going on.
Yeah, like because we're like in the image and like we're out there every day. So all we had to do was call the cameraman and tell him pull up. You feel me?
Right.
And we just shoot all our videos on the block. Like most of our videos are just on the block. You feel me?
Right.
But then after that, I started doing videos like I'll try to like go on a whole different type of scale and start doing like little crazy different type of videos, you feel me?
Right, so that kind of got you motivated and realized that you actually had the potential to make something out of this?
Yeah.
Interesting. So who would you cite as like influencing your music when you first started to do it though? Like who do you want to be like and was it local people? Was it shit that you were listening to online or on the radio or what was it?
You know, I wanted to, like, from the rip, I thought I was going to be, like, the gangster Justin Bieber for Canada, you feel me? Like,
wow.
All them, like, just people look up to me and all the girls love me, you feel me? And, well, I'm from the streets, like,
you But you wanted me? To be everything.
Yeah.
All together,
like, right. You feel me? Like, all one package, you know?
Right. How long did it take before people started really tapping in with you, like in terms of bigger artists and shit? Were they just showing appreciation like right away?
Tory Lanez was always fucking with me from the rip, from Wasp Gang, my first song.
Right.
And then I kept going hard. I was just getting crazy views. And then Meek Mill reached out to me.
Right.
That's when like everything went crazy, you know? That's when like I did my song with Murder Beats, Novocaine.
That song, I hadn't heard it in years. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it yesterday, just like, holy fuck, this song blew my mind when I first heard it.
Yeah. And then Meek Mills picked that shit up. And he kept posting it and everything. And then The Weeknd picked it up.
Right.
Everybody else was picking it up, like Ty Dolla Signs. Well, so everybody was picking it up at that time, you know? Travis Scott was going crazy to it.
Right.
And then, a lot of people was just fucking with me.
And so was all this before you caught your case that sort of slowed your career down a lot there?
Nah, Meek Mills reached out to me while I was on my case.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I caught a case and then I was on house arrest and shit. And then Meek Mills... I dropped Novocaine and that shit went crazy.
Are you able to speak about the situation that got you that case?
Nah, I don't even want
to
talk about that shit.
Yeah, understandably. How did you actually end up beating that though? Like, what can you tell us a little bit about just exactly why you're able to be here today in terms of that whole situation?
Yeah, I'm just here today. That's how God works, you know?
Right.
God just puts you where you need to be at times, you know?
Right.
And God felt like I needed to be here. So he said, go ahead, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Were you on that Drake tour before that case or was that after?
It was during my case.
Oh, wow.
So when I caught my case, the reason why I was able to leave Canada is because I was telling the judge, like, I'm going to go tour with Drake, you know? And they're like, that's dope. Oh, you feel me?
Mm.
They just let me go. My lawyer got like a bail variation.
Right.
And I was able to just perform. And they gave me like 30 days I was supposed to go for. And then my lawyer just kept extending it. I didn't even need to go to court or nothing. You feel me?
Right.
And that was my adult case.
Mm. So you had, like, what kind of arrest did you have before that when you were younger?
I don't even like talking about that shit either, you know?
Right. You kind of left all that in the past?
Yeah, I don't really want to tell them because it's gone, you know? Doesn't mean if I bring it out, it goes still on me.
But do you feel like you've kind of had to deal with that reputation in a way? Like, or, and do you feel like that's sort of, like, is something that people are excited about, like from the fan base? Because, you know, a lot of times it's kind of hard to get people to pay attention to a rapper unless that rapper has some sort of violence, like, associated with their name.
Yeah. It's not really violence. It's just, like, being out there every day, you know what I mean? It's just a violent neighborhood in general, you know what I mean? So it ain't violent to us. It's normal to us, you know what I mean? Like, for us, it's... For our moms and stuff, all this shit's normal. Like, they come outside of the hood, ask their neighbor for sugar, ask their neighbor for rice. Mm. You feel me? Like, it's a peaceful, it's more peaceful than even going to, like, the suburbs and shit, because people next door don't even fuck with you. You feel me?
Right.
Here, you could go ask 10 different people for sugar, 10 different people for bread. Like, you know what I mean? If you're... If you need an audience, you could ask 10 different people.
If somebody would knock on my door in my neighborhood and ask me for sugar, I would be very, very confused.
Right? But that's normal in my hood. Like,
right.
Oh, you need some sugar? Then they'll come back, and if they need something, hey, go ask them, because last time we gave them sugar, so we could go ask them for some onions, you know?
Mm.
So that's how it is. And it's not violent. It's very peaceful. It's loving over there. I miss the love over there. You feel me? To be honest. And
right.
But when it comes to all the other shit, it's just, like, knuckleheads running around, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, Toronto's kind of got a reputation over the last few years as, like, one of the craziest places in rap. Like, I don't know, there's this one Trap Geek video that, like, everybody kind of, I think, has seen at this point that sort of, like, summarizes how dramatic the careers of a lot of the up-and-coming rappers from your city have been over the past couple years and how many tragedies there's been. How do you feel about that and then the city sort of having that reputation?
Nah, it's just, you know, it's like what Kodak says, like a lot of rappers get it over there because, like, a lot of people have ego issues and they say, like, they want to kill somebody and get a, like what Kodak says, you know? Kodak says, kill somebody, get a dime, kill a rap nigga, get a dub.
Mm.
Like, it's, like, more clouded to, like, get a rapper or something. I don't know.
Right. So you really feel like that is, like, a thing that's happened with the culture out there where certain people feel like they're going to make a name for themselves or some shit, but...
It's just, like, no one wants that person to blow up. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't want me to blow up. Like, you know,
is that,
I mean?
Is that part of why you don't really care to be over there?
Nah, not that. I could be over there regardless. And there ain't nothing about that. Like, I know how to move and shit, but it's just be police be on me a lot, you know?
Right.
They be trying to lock me up off the rip, you feel me? Like, as soon as I step in the city, like, they on my ass, you know?
Mm. Can you tell me about Houdini and what it was like losing him?
Yeah, like, Houdini is, like, my, like, day one brother, like, from young as fuck, you know what I mean? His dad and my dad knew each other before we were born and stuff, you know?
Right.
And then, and Houdini was just a sauced up kid. He ended up moving from my neighborhood to, like, Brampton, like, later on. But then he still rocked with us, like, to the fullest, you know what I mean? Always in the hood and stuff, you know?
Right.
But that was, like, a lot of people moved out the hood, but then they still find their way back, you know?
Mm.
And then, yeah, he was dope as shit. He was a GOAT for my neighborhood. Like, he's a GOAT in this music shit. Like, he don't sound like he from Toronto. He sound like he got his own sound and just dripping every day, you feel me?
Right.
So, Houdini used to run around in L.A. a lot, too.
Right.
I think he met you before, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had a photo together or something.
You met him at the Rolling Loud show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, losing somebody like him, though, or, like, when you lose the various rappers that have been coming up out of your city, does that just make you feel more appreciative of the fact that you get to be here, and does it make it feel more important that you're able to represent for your city?
It just feels like, regardless... I'm a rep for my city, regardless, like, no one ain't gonna get in my way of what I need to be in life, you feel me?
Right.
I could be in the roughest part, the deepest trenches, whatever, like, I be in the trenches all the time, you know what I mean? I be in America in the trenches, you know, so, it's the same thing everywhere, bro, you feel me? Like, when you're a rapper, like, lot of niggas just probably like you, like your jewelry and shit, and want to come up off you off your jewelry.
Uh-huh.
It's just a dangerous life everywhere in general. You know what I mean?
Right.
You get crazy everywhere. But nah, I hear what you're saying. Like, it's just, I ain't going out like that, so that has nothing to do with me, you know?
Mm.
Like, them niggas, that was their future. That was their destiny, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not my destiny. Like, I know what my destiny is, you feel me?
What is your destiny? What do you feel like you got to do with this life?
I just got to be, like, the biggest to come out of my, like, Canada, you know?
Mm.
From the mud, from the street, and able to give back. Like, I be giving back all the time, you know what I mean? There's a lot of shit that I be doing for kids that be playing basketball and shit, buying them a bunch of jerseys and just taking care of the kids that play ball, that go to the league later on in life, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of me and a lot of my friends, I have a couple of kids that are in the NBA that are my homies and shit, like, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they're, like, used to play for the same organization as me and shit, right? So I be going back to that same organization and, like, helping out the kids that hopefully they'll make it later on in life.
Right. You know? What kind of reactions do you get from them? Are they, like, shocked to see you taking time out of your schedule to do that sort of thing?
They don't really know that I'm behind it like that. You know what I mean? Mm. I just deal with my teacher, like, my neighborhood teacher. Like, he's, like, a mentor back in the day, you feel me?
Right.
So I just kind of, like, go through with my mentor and shit, and he just handles all that. I don't care if they know I'm involved or not, you know? It's more off on the hush, you know?
Mm. Respect. So in terms of where you're at right now in your career, like, what are you motivated to actually, like, what steps do you feel like you need to actually do to take your shit to the next level? Like, where how do you view what you're trying to do and where you're at?
I just need to take over America real quick. I did Canada. I did Europe, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just got to come turn up America one time. Once I get the exposure in America, I'm out of here, you know?
Right. I was listening to that new song, Ambitions, and I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, that was really amazing. That totally just reminded me of how fucking unique your style is.
Yeah, I know.
I was appreciative of that. How much are you recording at this point? Like, how much work do you actually put in, and how much do you, like, do you just work by yourself? Do you, like, work with producers on stuff? Like, what's your creative process like?
I think I just put out, like, 7 songs, but in a year, I probably got, like, hella songs, bro. Thousands of songs, you feel me?
Mm.
I probably right now got, like, 2,000 songs, 3,000 songs, like, just even shit I forget about, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
It just be whatever I feel like is good, I just put out, you know?
Mm.
I be recording all the time. I got a studio in my crib.
Mm-hmm. Where do you stay out here?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Stay out here.
You don't gotta give me the city.
I be staying out here. I'm out here, though. That's all they need to know. If they want to come find me, I'm in LA, you feel me?
For sure. What's your lifestyle like, though? Like, what, like, you know, there's a lot of people out here party a shitload. Like, do you live more of, like, a simple lifestyle? What's the speed that you're living at?
I ain't in no hype shit, bro, you know? I'm just trying to get in and get out, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
I be, like, just chilling, doing, not everything I do I advertise, you feel me? Like, I do all this shit that these niggas be doing, we be out here doing too, you feel me?
Right.
I just don't be advertising all the shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, LA, you know how this shit goes. It's just Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go Hollywood if I wanted to, you feel me?
Right.
But I be just chilling me, you feel me? I could turn the Hollywood switch on whenever I want, you feel me?
Mm. Definitely.
The more times I got it off.
But do you like doing that kind of stuff? Because, I mean, mm-hmm. some people, you see certain rappers who blow up and they sort of take it upon themselves to, like, actually start doing rich person shit, famous person shit. And then you have other people, like you mentioned Kodak, who comes to mind, Whereas, like, he could seemingly make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and he doesn't give a fuck. He's still basically going to be doing the same shit and living the type of life that he wants.
Yeah, exactly. I don't be out here chasing the clout and trying to clout up and... Nah, bro, I'll just come do little interviews like this and get my clout, you know? Come check in, no jumper, you feel me? Get my little fans, little your fans and shit. You feel me? I ain't going to be on the IG talking shit and being hyped up and doing all that shit, you feel me?
Right.
You'll just catch me posting a picture.
Yeah.
Promoting my music.
Well, you want to keep, like, a element of mystery, right? Yeah. Like, if you're putting yourself out there on fucking Instagram Live all the fucking time.
Then who wants to fucking see you? Right. No one doesn't even care about your video.
Like, right.
I mean, they don't even care what you got to say because you said it 50 times already in, on fucking IG Live.
I actually was watching an Instagram Live with you, kind of like not arguing, but having a conversation with your brother, right? About, he was like saying, like, you're just smoking blunts on Instagram Live. Like, we need to educate these people. Like, they already know how to roll a blunt.
Yeah, I know. He'd be like, nah, he just be trying to tell me, like, to pipe up on IG Live, like, because he more piped up, like, you know, he's the type to talk his shit on there, you feel me? But
right.
Me, I go on there, roll up a blunt, say what's popping, you feel me? some music, you feel me?
Right. I mean, you are, like, a very, like, low-key sort of chill person, right? Yeah. Like, is it sometimes you have to, like, change your fucking attitude in order to do rapper shit,
yeah,
right?
That's what my brother be trying to do, like, fam, you gotta do this. This is what the fans want to see. Like, this is what the fan. You don't see what these guys are doing over here, fam. These guys are bringing in fans. They're getting views. Like, niggas will get 2,000 views on live. You feel me? Me, I just get like 600-700. You know what I mean? And sometimes people will come on my shit because I just be smoking. Like, motherfuckers be like, yo. Put your hands on
that. Right.
I can't do all that shit, buddy. You feel me?
Yeah, it is weird. I mean,
that shit out my character. Like,
you see people. Like, you can tell when somebody's whole personality has been completely skewed and just, like, stretched them into somebody who they totally aren't. And it's awful for me when I see an artist that I really respect and they're just doing some goofy-ass shit on Instagram. And I'm just like, damn, like, they were so tight. And they're letting the fucking likes and the comments fucking derail what they had going on, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely something to be conscious of. So how do you feel about, like, the up and coming generation that's coming out of Canada right now? Do you have anybody that you fuck with, and is it important for you to still, like, work with the up and coming generation? Now, you know, you've been out for a couple of years, so you got to kind of feel like you're certified to some extent, right?
Nah, Bresky, we certified regardless. Even if I went pop today, buddy, these niggas know what time it is, girl. You know, I don't even need to be talking about no all that shit, like all that boom boom bop shit. You know, I could talk about girls all day, and niggas will fuck with it. You feel me?
Do you think your fans want to hear that kind of shit from you though? If you went fully soft, like, do you feel like your fans want to hear some street shit from you? Like, they probably,
obviously, for sure. Yeah. We're gonna always give them street shit. I'm just talking shit, you know. I'm just saying, like, this is what type of nigga I am. Like, I could be whoever I want and still be certified out here, you know. Niggas know what time it is, bro. You feel me?
I feel you. So your brother just got out of prison?
Yeah, my brother just got out of jail.
BFR Bundog?
Yeah.
And how long was he in?
He got like 10 years.
10 years. And so he's out, and like, how is
he?
He
got off probation just now, so he all over the road right now. You feel me?
Really? So have you had him out here and shit? He's in Dubai. I saw those photos.
Yeah.
You were out there with him?
Nah.
Oh, you couldn't make the trip?
No, I couldn't. I didn't want to go.
You didn't want to go to Dubai? Why not?
Because I'm trying to get back in America, buddy. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're afraid that if you leave, you might not be able to get back in?
Not even that. Like, I just don't like dealing with, like, police and the border. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what to tell them. Like, I don't even talk to a police. Like, right. So if when they secondary me, I don't even know what to say. Like, you feel me?
So you have so much paranoia about crossing the border that you're kind of not trying to fuck with Dubai. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to Dubai because I couldn't smoke weed. That would suck.
Nah, I'm finna go back and forth right now. It's just, bro, I'm trying to figure out America. Like, I could be over there anytime, you know? Like, those are my stomping ground. Like, That's my playground. Like, I go, I'm out here. I don't really got too much people in America. It's just me out here. But I got hella people in Canada and Europe and shit, in Dubai. Like,
right.
We go over there and be living Hollywood out there. You feel me? But me, my focus is trying to get some American exposure. You feel me?
Mm. So how'd you end up doing that song with Chef G and Sleepy Hollow and them? Like, how'd you create that relationship?
They with RCA and I'm with Sony, you feel me?
Oh, okay.
So we kind of just came together on that type of shit.
Interesting. How'd you guys all get along, though? That was interesting. Because that's like the Brooklyn drill scene. And we got you. You're like Toronto. God. Street God.
You just gotta know how to talk to people too, you know? Like, other people are, there's other people behind me too, and you feel me? It's not me talking all the time, you know?
Right.
It's like, I just pull up and we just show out, you feel me? We're trying to here to make great music, we're here to make greatness, you know what I mean?
Mm. Definitely. Is Presley in a relationship?
It's kind of crazy right now.
It's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah.
In what regards? As in, you have a crazy ass relationship, or it's crazy how much pussy you're getting?
Nah. Nah, bro. So next year, you know.
His whole team is giggling right now.
We ain't here to talk about this relationship.
Boom! Put him on the spot. Made him uncomfortable. That's what interviewing is all about. So. What direction do you find yourself pulled in musically at this point? Like, the kind of shit that you want to be making, the kind of shit that you feel like is where you're best suited? Like, what's the stuff that gets you hyped right now?
I just bought a $20,000 dog. I fucking been fucking with her, like, for a little bit, like, you know, just
that's the energy. $20,000 dogs.
Yeah, she 20 bands, and I just been trying to take care of this dog.
Really, just looking at this rich ass dog, just thinking about her, that inspires you to make music.
Yeah, like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, what I like to do? Like,
no, I'm talking about, like, you know, when you get in the studio, like, what kind of music you like making these days?
Like, what am I doing? Like, for like, just like. For chilling, like,
I mean, we can talk about both for sure, but I like that though. $20,000 dog music.
$20,000 dog. I be talking about my dog, saying, "Yo, my dog 20 bands."
No, yeah, you gotta say that.
My dog a Rolly and shit.
I was listening to Rio the Young OG song, and he was like making fun of somebody for having like a $200 dog. Like, he's like dog fighting, but he got a cheap ass dog. And I was like, damn, I never heard somebody clown somebody for that until right now. But $20,000 dog, you can't be fighting that.
Yeah, you can't be fighting that. No. My dog don't fight.
No, definitely.
And I'll just chill, you know?
Mm. But, okay, musically, like, what's the shit that you're excited about? And, like, what kind of shit do you feel like they really want to hear from you?
They want to hear some street shit, obviously. That's just how it goes, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just keep giving them the real and giving them the truth, you feel me? And just giving them what it is to be a nigga like me coming out the streets of Toronto, you know?
Yeah.
Representing for Toronto out here in America. And show y'all motherfuckers that, like, yeah, Canada's sweet. I know, I understand, you feel me? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, where I'm from, me, my niggas, we ain't sweet, you know what I mean? But I understand where y'all come from, because I understand, like, that's the vibe Canada is, like, we're like peacemakers, you feel me?
Mm.
That's like they teach us manners, please and thank you. That's why I got like manners and shit, you know?
Mm.
Like you'll see a lot of people like kind of from Canada, like please, thank you. Even real niggas from the streets say, like, oh, yo, thank you. Like, you know?
Right.
A nigga out here like, yeah, that's what's up. Like,
that's what's up means thank you, kind of. Yeah, no, but I feel you, because like every time I've been to Canada, because I grew up like in New Hampshire, so like Montreal is like a 6-hour drive away, so mm-hmm. we were kind of going there from a young age, and that's always been my impression, is like, damn, you cross this border and everybody gets like 20% more friendly.
Yeah.
So then when you're learning about Pressa and you're learning about like everything that's going on in Toronto and all the street shit and stuff, you're like, damn, there are some mean ass people out here. But you're saying that they have a friendly demeanor while
yeah,
they're...
Yeah, bro, there's mean guys with manners in my hood, bro. Right. We're just some classy-ass niggas from my city in my hood. You feel me? That?
Yeah.
Just keep it real, you feel me? And just keep it thugging, you know?
You gotta respect it.
Ain't out here blowing money in the strip club and spending their money on girls and shit like that. They just...
You don't get into all that?
Nah, they just feed their family and they do their thing, you know?
For sure. Shit, all right. Well, it was good for us to finally get to tap in like this. Man, last time I seen you, though, you had the afro.
The Jerry curls.
And I was really fucking with... Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, Jerry curls, right. You know, that's it. Yeah, I'm misremembering it. Okay, you're right. But that was very lit. I was like, wow, this is fucking some of the finest hair I ever seen in my life. So I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, that's that drip. I could switch it up anytime. I keep telling y'all, bro. Like, I'll go perm my hair. They ain't going to say shit about it. You feel me?
Right. But how much do you care about the clothing side of things? Like, is that a big passion of yours? Just having fire outfits and shit all the time?
Fire outfits? Like clothes?
Yeah, the clothes side of things.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be like, that's just part of it. That's just part of the culture. We always been... Like, when we were young, we always used to be Fresh Kids. Mm-hmm. We had this little group called Fresh Kids in the city where, like, I was, like, 9, 10, my brother, like, 13, 14. But it's, like, all the Fresh Kids that are in the city, they could be, like, FK, you know?
Uh-huh.
Your FK gang, like,
because okay.
You're fresh. You have Jordans on, or, like, you have 20 different Jordans, like, you're saucy, you know?
Right.
But, like, if you weren't saucy, you can't be FK, and we'll be at all the parties that, like, Drake's manager used to be DJing and shit, because Future, he used to DJ a lot back in the day in my hood, like, on the strip and stuff. Like, so, like, Future's, like, knows about a lot about our culture, you feel me? Like, what me and my brother and what me and my niggas been going through back home, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
Going... Dancing up with girls and shit, parties and shit.
Oh, yeah?
We're doing parties like I'm 10 years old in, like, a fucking party that's playing music. Like,
yeah.
Bubbling girls, dancing with girls and
10
shit.
10 years old in the club, huh?
Yeah, like, it's all ages club.
What a way to grow up, man. All ages? Does all ages include 10-year-olds? That's crazy. Yeah,
all ages. Yeah.
I take all ages to mean, like, well, no, I guess yeah, you could get a 10-year-old in the... I guess I never really seen a 10-year-old in the club, but
you see 10-year-olds boys dancing and shit, break dancing and all that shit.
That's crazy. That was you. You have a breakdancing phase?
Not like breakdance, but like fucking. They're just like, you know
the robot
Jabberwocky boys,
right?
You know, like, they're just super saucy. They're dancing with all the girls.
Definitely.
They send a little boy out in the middle, like, and he comes, does his couple moves, and everybody goes crazy.
Are you on TikTok? Have you taken your dancing to the internet like that?
Nah. I wasn't dancing. I was just in the corner watching the kid them dance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel you. Fuck. All right, Presser. What you got? Anything dropping we need to know about? Anything to look forward to?
The Garden Express. Make sure that y'all go listen to the Gardner Express. You feel me? That's the drip right now. Everybody in Canada going crazy for it. So, y'all Americans better pick up right now, cause you know what I mean. Y'all gotta be part of the culture right now before y'all start knowing me later when I'm already popping. You feel me?
Yeah, catch up. If you made it to the end of this interview, you probably already know what the fuck is going on. But you know, I'm definitely hyped to see the new music coming out and shit, because the shit that I was listening to, the newer stuff, I was still like, damn, he ain't slipping up at all. This shit is hard.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. Appreciate it,
man. Appreciate it, man. All right. Pressa, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.
And follow me on Instagram, man. Pressa Armani.
Appreciate y'all.